And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Great to be with you again today. Plenty to talk about today. Before I get into the subject matter, the primary subject matter of today's program, let me just mention to you, first of all, my gratitude to American Family Radio, to Tim Wildman and the management and staff of American Family Radio for sponsoring the Stand Awards Dinner. The Stand Awards Dinner is coming up on May the 16th, that's Friday, May the 16th at 7 p.m. at Cornerstone Chapel. And Cornerstone Chapel is in Leesburg, Virginia. And we are pleased to announce that we have complimentary seats available for American Family Radio listeners. So if you are a listener to American Family Radio, of course you are, you're listening to me right now, and you would like to come, you don't have to pay the $150 ticket price. You can come for free. That's right, folks. You can come for free, and you can thank American Family Radio for that. The tickets are available on a first-come, first-served basis. All you have to do is email us awardsdinner@standinc.net. awardsdinner@standinc.net. By the way, if you are not using the internet for these kinds of things, and that's just not going to work for you, call us at 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. If you call us off hours, you can call us off hours and leave a message and simply say, I am an American Family Radio, an AFR listener. I'd like to have, and we'll give up to four tickets per family. More than that, then you'll have to get a special dispensation because we want to get as many different people coming who might want to come. We will make an exception, but we need to talk to you about that, exactly who they are, because it's for family members only, not, you know, you can't get tickets for friends. People have to do that on their own. And all we ask is that you just make sure if you get the tickets that you do honor them by coming, because otherwise we end up paying for a dinner that nobody uses. And of course, that's a waste of money. So again, you can call us at 757-375-6444. And leave a message or talk to my administrative assistant, or you can email awardsdinner@standinc.net. And we would love to see you there. If you are there and you are there as a result of American Family Radio, please make sure that you let the staff know when you come in and sign in. Look, I'm an American Family Radio listener. Bishop Jackson City wanted me to let you know that, because I want to meet all the AFR listeners who come, especially. I want to take a moment to do that, maybe take a picture with you, that kind of thing. But look, we're honoring Tina Deskovich, who is the founder of Moms for Liberty. We're honoring Kevin Freeman, who is also on American Family Radio, by the way. I believe his program comes on Saturday. He's also on Blaze TV. Great man of God and really an economic wizard. I mean, the man understands, forgive the word wizard, but you get my point. I mean, really somebody who is just gifted at understanding our economy. In fact, he's advised the Pentagon and others on the issue of economic terrorism, foreign enemies and adversaries using economics and finances in order to try to undermine our country. We're honoring Walter Hoy, who is one of the godfathers, particularly the black conservative, the black pro-life movement, something that we're still trying to get people to understand, the Margaret Sanger's vision of genocide against black people and any people that she thought were not worthy of life. And that included, by the way, people of all races. So sort of a Hitlerian vision that some certain people didn't deserve to live. Walter Hoy is one of the champions of that effort in the black community. Stacey Washington, formerly here on AFR. She's now on another network, but formerly here on AFR. And Robert L. Woodson, founder of the Woodson Institute. We have some great honorees, and I'm sure that they would love to see you. Some of you undoubtedly know these folks, and you'll want to come and just to encourage them and celebrate them. Look, the reason why we have designed the dinner this way is my firm belief that no matter how great the organization, and for example, the American Family Association, family of organizations, because we really are not just one organization, really, we're a family of organizations that's unfolded out of the vision of Brother Don Wildman. But even we can't do it alone. No one organization can. We have to support one another and encourage one another. And that's why AFR is supporting and encouraging Stan, because they know that our work is important and they want to help us. And we're not the extensive organization that American Family Association is, but they want to help us do the work that we're doing of bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold Judeo-Christian values and principles and uphold constitutional principles, free market principles, those ideals that made America the greatest nation in the history of mankind. So grateful to them for that. But we recognize at the dinner, nobody can do it alone. And we need to encourage others. So we want to encourage these other patriots who are on the front lines. Tina Deskovich at Founding Moms for Liberty, Kevin Freeman dealing with economic issues, Walter Hoy dealing with pro-life issues, Stacey Washington just speaking out as a conservative woman addressing issues that Americans care about. And Bob Woodson, who has been on the front lines, really sort of being even more on the ground than I am in the inner cities of our country, working with people who understand that liberal answers have only led to more misery. And he's trying to implement conservative answers which actually solve these problems rather than making them worse. So these folks are certainly worthy of the honor that we're bestowing upon them. We're giving them the George Washington Award for taking a stand, because George Washington is, I believe, the American icon of American historical figures, because without him, we would not have had a country. He was the indispensable man, the man that God used more than any other single person to make sure that America was birthed into a constitutional republic and set the precedent for America being a nation where a president, a chief executive, a commander-in-chief did not seize and hold power, trying to stay in power as a king or a dictator for life. He set that precedent by holding the levers of power lightly and yet serving so valiantly, so heroically, so sacrificially. So we're giving them the George Washington Award for taking a stand. And many others, of course. This is the fourth one we've held. And so we've given the award now. I don't know the exact number, but four or five people a year get it. And there have been some outstanding individuals who have received the award, and these individuals are outstanding as well. So thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank AFR again for supporting the dinner as a sponsor. And I hope that you can come, and you'll come as an AFR-sponsored guest with a complimentary ticket that you don't have to pay for. You can come for free. Now, of course, if you say, as you hear me, you know what, Bishop Jackson, that's so kind, but I really want to support you. I don't want to take a ticket. I can't come, but I want to send a donation. Just go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. And anything you do to help would be most appreciated. Okay. Here's what I want to get to today. Something that nobody else is really talking about, at least not extensively, and they should be. And this is going to lead me to a couple of other things. You are aware, aren't you, that the Democrats, you know, I've started calling them the Demoncrats. And again, folks, I don't say it just trying to be cute or being a smart aleck. I really believe that I am describing spiritually the condition, the state of the Democrat Party. Everything they have embraced is demonic. And it continues to unfold before us, in spite of the fact that I've got that revelation, and I don't know how many other people really have embraced it or have heard me say it and think, you know, that's I'm just saying something negative about them. But when you embrace it as an accurate, truthful description of where they are, it really does illuminate things. It really does. Demons have literally taken over that party. And think about this from, there are a number of ways we can think about this, but think about who they adopt as their heroes, as people that they want to lionize, people they want to exalt, people they want to praise, people they want to turn into icons. George Floyd. Now look, George Floyd died tragically, and I believe that George Floyd's death was indeed unjust. So let me just say that right off the bat, and I don't have any equivocation about saying that. However, George Floyd was a criminal, a fentanyl addict, at least somebody who passed counterfeit money. I don't know whether he made it, but he undoubtedly passed counterfeit money. He was nobody's icon of righteousness, of virtue, of anything. He just tragically was unjustly killed by a police officer who, for whatever reason, just kind of lost himself and did something that was horrendous. And those of us who saw it thought it was horrendous. But that doesn't make George Floyd somebody we ought to emulate. I mean, we can walk and chew gum at the same time, right? We can say what happened to George Floyd was tragic, and at the same time say, but George Floyd himself was a tragic figure even without this happening. I mean, this is a man who chose to live on the seedy side of life. But other Americans, leftists, they've created statues and monuments, and we want to celebrate George Floyd. I mean, President Biden actually said George Floyd has had, I don't know whether he said more or as much, but he actually compared George Floyd to Martin Luther King. And Martin Luther King was a human being, just like every other human being that's ever served us in this country and done things that we thought were admirable. He had his flaws too, but he wasn't a criminal. He wasn't a drug addict. He wasn't a counterfeiter. And he advanced the cause of civil rights in a way that sowed the seeds of unity that unfortunately the civil rights establishment is just undermining by the numbers these days. But he built the whole movement on the ideal of love, that we ought to love one another. Not white people are so terrible and black people are all virtuous victims and we hate those white people. I mean, that was not, no. What was it about? What was it about? He said, let's build a beloved community. He said, let's take the high road of moral excellence. I remember when he famously said, and now there are a lot of people who hated him for it. I mean, within the black community and the black civil rights movement who didn't like it. When he said, we're going to wear you down with love. We're going to meet physical force with soul force. His dream was to sit down at the table of brotherhood. I mean, man, it moves me to think about it today because it's exactly what America is supposed to be. And you've got people running around now. They want to tear down a statue of Frederick Douglass and put up a statue of George Floyd. This is where the left is, folks. This is what they want. It's demonic. Tear down George Washington's statue and put up George Floyd's statue. I mean, so think about who they have chosen to admire. Mahmoud Khalil, the man who has been on college campuses, I guess particularly at Columbia, spurring these violent, vicious protests, calling for the annihilation of the Jewish people. And he has now been arrested because he's not an American citizen. And the Democrats, they're up in arms. We've got to get him released. He should be back out on the streets. He shouldn't even be in a country. He shouldn't even be in our country. Back out on the streets for what? He doesn't even have a right to be here. But he's their hero. Oh, yes. Mahmoud Khalil is a hero. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the guy who is now down in a prison in El Salvador, because he's an MS-13 gang member, not to mention that he was arrested twice and had protection orders against him for abusing, I don't know whether his wife, his girlfriend, or his significant other. So he was apparently a wife beater and an MS-13 gang member. And folks, MS-13 has been known to do some of the most vicious stuff imaginable. They torture people. They cut off people's heads. They murder willy-nilly. Killing somebody to them is, it's nothing. And they're visiting El Salvador trying to get this guy back into our country. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Jesus when Pilate said, "What would you have me do with Jesus? Shall I crucify him?" And they said, crucify him, release Barabbas. Yeah, crucify Jesus, release Barabbas. Who do you think that sentiment was engineered by? Satan himself. Satan himself. But of course, it was exactly what was to be expected, because God was allowing sin to take its course in order to bring Jesus to the cross to pay the awesome union price for our sins. But that didn't mean God put that evil in the hearts of people. It was already there. And that's what this reminds me of. Not, well, let's help Lake and Riley's family. They've suffered a great tragedy. No, we're going to ignore them. Who cares about them? Let's help Jocelyn Nungary's family because they've suffered a terrible injustice. No, we're ignoring them. Let's help Rachel Morin and her family because she's an innocent woman who was murdered, raped. Jocelyn Nungary tortured and raped and murdered. No, we're not going to pay any attention to them. We don't have time for that. No. Let's focus on Mahmoud Khalil. Well, what about Kate Steinle? She was murdered on the streets of L.A. by an illegal alien. No, we're not going to deal with that. In fact, we're going to release the guy who killed her, because after all, I mean, he didn't mean to kill her. He just found a weapon somewhere and happened to shoot her. And I tell you, folks, I wasn't sitting on the jury, and I hate to second this jury, but if you believe that, as far as I'm concerned, I got a Brooklyn bridge I'll sell you cheap. Or the young man I have talked about from time to time, he was murdered, I think, back in 2008 by an illegal alien. And his father tells a story. His name will come to me. His father tells a story of how they completely, once they found out he was killed by an illegal alien, the Democrats dropped him like a hot potato. But oh no, so no, we're not gonna We're not going to talk about him because, you know, he was killed by an illegal alien. He doesn't really matter. No. Let's focus our attention on and our admiration on and our praise on, our time on, Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the MS-13 gang member who beats his wife. Yeah, let's. And that's who we want. We want to praise him. We want to honor him. Folks, if that's not demonic, I don't know what is. Or no, how about this? Let's honor the judge who turned loose an illegal alien who was in the courtroom up on charges.
First interviewed McDaniel the day.
And ICE was there to arrest this guy. And
I want to go to Joy Addison.
Forgive me, folks. I've got video playing that I didn't mean to be playing. But yeah, let's make sure we walk him out of the courtroom. So therefore, this judge, Hannah Dugan, now she's a true hero. She is a true hero. ICE was in the courthouse, out in the hallway, there to arrest Eduardo Flores Ruiz and take him into custody. She was angry about their even being there. Okay? She was actually angry with ICE for being there to arrest an illegal alien. She walks him out the back door and out of the courthouse. And she was arrested. But she's a hero. Flouting the law, flouting our immigration laws, flouting a legitimate agency in the lawful execution of their duties. She's a hero. Protecting this illegal alien. You wonder, again, this stuff is demonic. Because you're angry at legitimate law enforcement doing their job, and you as a judge sworn to uphold the Constitution and the law, you are busy working with a person who's here illegally to help them evade responsibility and accountability to the law for having been here in the first place. You know, on one level, if you think about it, you look at who people choose to admire. You know, there's a proverb that says, he that condemns the righteous and upholds the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're condemning righteous victims. Because here again, there were victims in the court waiting for this guy's case to be adjudicated. She ignored them and protected him. Folks, this is demonic. There's no question about it. These are the people they choose to uphold. And this judge, magistrate, who was actually housing a member of Tren de Aragua in his house. And they've been declared a terrorist organization, sponsored by the government of Venezuela, which is a communist government at this point. And apparently, based upon the intelligence we have, commissioned to come into the country, to come into the United States of America, to destabilize our country, and he's living in a judge's home. Well, you know what? That judge is a hero. Yeah, yes, indeed. That judge and his wife, they are heroes. I mean, there, you can't come to any other conclusion. Again, it is very much not to liken anybody to Jesus, because we know that Jesus was perfect and holy and righteous in every way. And nobody else, even people who are not lawbreakers, are not perfect and holy and righteous in any way. So let me just make that clear. I'm not trying to make anybody the equivalent of Jesus. I'm just pointing out the analogous situation where they condemned Jesus and wanted to exonerate the killer. And this is the same situation. They basically condemn victims, righteous victims who've done nothing wrong, and they want to exonerate and exalt and praise and honor and protect the criminal. What is that but demonic? Now, as further evidence of exactly where they are coming from, and I know this is one of those moments, folks, where if you didn't know me, you'd say, he's got to be making this up. The Democrats have apparently gotten together, I guess in their various caucuses, but this has apparently come down from on high. I don't know exactly who the players were who came up with this, but they have decided that the way to reach the American people is to be more explicitly profane in their speeches and their vocabulary. I kid you not, folks. This is the new strategy now. That's why you're hearing so many comments of Democrats being bleeped out, because they're dropping F-bombs and everything else that they're big enough to drop, because they really think that this is the way you touch the American people and you persuade the American people of your authenticity. Well, it doesn't persuade me of authenticity. It persuades me of their filth. It persuades me of their depravity. Now, don't get me wrong. We are Christians. We know that nobody is going to go to hell for cursing or profanity. In fact, the matter is, nobody's going to go to hell for stealing. Nobody's going to go to hell for lying. Nobody's going to go to hell for cheating. Nobody's going to go to hell for committing murder. People are going to go to hell for refusing to accept the sacrifice that God provided to pay for their sin so that they could receive forgiveness and cleansing and the new birth in Jesus Christ. That's why people are going to go to hell. If the sins alone were enough to send you to hell, or if the sins could not, if there were no way out of the sin that people commit, you and I would not be saved. Now, you got guys in prison who have committed murder and they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. So people are not going to go to hell for cursing. However, Jesus said some things about this that are very instructive for us. Jesus said that things that come out of the mouth defile a person. Remember that the scribes and Pharisees were all up in arms because Jesus didn't have his disciples wash their hands the proper way. And, you know, there was a whole ritual to washing one's hands, and they weren't following the proper ritual and all of that. And Jesus told him, he said, are you also without understanding? Because Peter asked him to explain some things that he was saying about the blind leading the blind after he told them. In fact, I'll just tell you in Matthew chapter 15, verse 10, says when he had called the multitude himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. And that word defiles in the Greek is a word, it literally means to make unclean or to profane, to make filthy, to make dirty. So Jesus said, what comes out of the mouth makes you unclean, makes you filthy, makes you dirty on the inside. Now, he also said, as the correlation to that, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, this thing is revolutionizing. So a dirty heart produces dirty stuff coming out of the mouth, and then a dirty mouth feeds dirty stuff back into the heart. So what are the Democrats telling us? They're telling us that they're filthy. And again, I'm not trying to be mean about this. I'm not trying to throw ad hominems and opprobrium and whatever words you can think of, just throwing insults. I'm really seeking to accurately describe what is going on with them spiritually. They're filthy down on the inside. E.W. Jackson didn't say that. Jesus said it. They think they're reaching the American people with authenticity. And what they're really doing is revealing their own filth and depravity. Look, it is one thing. And folks, come next year, end of next year. So I'm still about a year and a half away. I will have been walking with the Lord for 50 years. 50 years since I became a Christian. 50 years since I was converted. 50 years since I was born again. I've met Christians who curse. Now, I cursed before I was a Christian, but I've certainly met Christians who slip up. Now, I'd like to think I have not met a Christian who just every other word out of their mouth is a curse word, you know, who just kind of enjoys throwing profanity around, because I really believe Christians don't think or talk that way. But I've certainly met Christians who will slip up, and Christians who have admitted to me even if I didn't hear it, because if they know I'm a minister, often they won't slip up around you if they know you're a minister out of respect. But Christians who admitted to me, yeah, I slip up now and then and say something I have no business saying. But they're not sitting around strategizing and saying, you know what, I have to curse more. You've got to have a depraved heart to think like that. We shouldn't be surprised at the policies that come out of their heads, because they're telling us that there's filth in their hearts. And you know what, folks? When the heart is filthy, the head's going to be filthy too. You see, the head can only get what the heart receives. That's why I say a lot of times we get all hung up. And I say we, I mean us as Christians, we get all hung up about the way people think. And the real problem is not their head. The real problem is their heart. Because when the heart gets it, the head will get it. But if the heart doesn't get it, the head can't get it. I've had people come to me and tell me about someone, maybe close to them, maybe somebody who's a close friend or relative, and say to me, you know, this person really, you know, the way they act and blah, 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 the things that they say and they're mean and this, that, and the other. And I will say to them, are they saved? Well, no. I say then that the problem is really not the way they're acting, is it? The problem is that the person doesn't have a relationship with God, and so they don't understand or know the love of God that transforms you from within. So what you need to be doing, instead of praying about the way they talk and act, you need to be praying for a change in their heart, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and have their hearts filled with the love of God. Because when that happens, guess what? The rest will take care of itself. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen, folks. You may have heard me tell this story before, but I was taking a walk in my neighborhood one time. This was years ago. And I was, you know, just exercising. And I was coming up on a construction site in the neighborhood. I guess they were probably building a house or getting ready to doing some of the preliminary work. But I could hear them from about a half block away. And I mean, they were just cursing up a storm. And, you know, when I'm exercising like that, particularly when I was doing that outside, I'm praying and meditating and talking to God. So I was outside exercising, and of course I'm praying and meditating and talking to God. And when I hear all this cursing coming from this construction site, these guys, it irritated me. It just got under my skin. I said, you know, Lord, when I get up there, I'm going to tell them, why are you all using all that profanity? And the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, of course, but in my heart, and said, don't do that. And I really, because I knew the Lord had spoken to me, and I said, I left it alone and walked right past. And I don't think they even noticed me the first time. And when I got past, and the Lord began to minister to me and told me, he said, if you go there and you criticize them for their cursing, you're just going to leave them angry and resentful. He said, the problem is not their cursing. The problem is that they don't know me. So why don't you go tell them about my love for them? And I tell you, by the time I'd taken a walk up, probably took me 5, maybe 10 minutes to walk up to where my turnaround point was and come back. And as I came back, I just hollered at them from the sidewalk. They weren't 20 feet from the sidewalk. I said, hey, fellas, and then turned and walked in and walked. I said, wow, what are you all doing? And they told me, well, you know, we're building, and they sort of gave me a little explanation. And I said, well, listen, I'm a minister. I said, my name is Bishop Jackson, and I'm pastor, and told them my church, and said, can I pray for you all? And they looked at me and said, yeah, we can always use prayer. Yeah, preacher, lay it on us. I tell you, I prayed for them, and when I left, they were just smiling and laughing, and their hearts were just lifted up. And later on, one of my church members said to me, Bishop, were you walking in your neighborhood and stopped at a construction site and prayed for some guys? I said to him, yeah, because I'm wondering, how's he know? He said, I was talking to one of my friends, one of the people that he knows, you know, because he's been around the area for a long time, knows a lot of people, saved and unsaved. And he said to me, you know, we were working and some preacher came up and asked to pray for us. Man, prayed for us. And he said, where were you? He told him where. He said, well, you know, my pastor lives out there. He said, Bishop Jackson. He said, yeah. Oh, he said, that was your pastor. He said, yeah. And he was just thrilled. My point is that we need to be praying for these people for deliverance. Because while, and by the way, I distinguish between that group of fellas, because they didn't get around and say, hey, let's see if we can curse as bad as we can, and let's try to make it. Yeah. They were just doing what I did before I got saved and what other people do, just talking the way people talk. And profanity, you just think nothing of it. You just do it. It's a habit. But it is another thing for a political party to get together and say, we're going to start using as much profanity as we can, because somehow that's going to give us a greater level of connectivity to the American people. Now, you know, that's sick. That's sick. But we still need to pray for these people's deliverance. So I said all that, told that story to say, look, I am not suggesting that because a person curses, they're going to hell, or they're the worst person in the world, all that. But I am suggesting that when a political party decides that the way to communicate with the American people is to use the nastiest words they can think of and to be as profane as they can, that that is demonic. They are consciously choosing to talk that way because they think somehow that that is going to give them a greater level of rapport with the American people. I mean, how sick can you get? Every indication is that the devil is in charge of that party and their thinking. The way they choose to talk, the people they choose to admire and defend and laud and support, the policies they choose to promote. We are in a spiritual war. Folks, I'm surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they just arrested, Iraq, I should say, arrested an ISIS fighter who apparently was the inspiration behind Shamsuddin Jabbar's attack in New Orleans on New Year's Day. You remember the guy drove his truck, killed 15 people, driving his truck into the crowd? Well, Iraq just arrested the ISIS leader responsible, they think, for helping to radicalize this guy. Guy born in America, by the way. I always wonder when, you know, is his family some from the Middle East? Or is this one of these cases, it sounds like a Middle Eastern name, it's one of these cases where, you know, his parents decided that, sadly, some parents decide they think Islam is the black man's religion. You know, that's the garbage that Louis Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad told people. That's the lie they told people, which is as far from the truth as you can get, my goodness, because Islam and the Arab Muslims were the first group, the first people to make it a point to enslave sub-Saharan Africans. They were the ones who introduced the Europeans to it. When Europeans didn't go to Africa and start enslaving Africans, North African Muslims and Arab Muslims were enslaving Africans before the Europeans ever got there. And you got people running around talking about the Islam is the black man's real name. I mean, it's just ignorance gone to seed. Just as dumb as people can be and think they're being smart, think they're being authentic. But my point is, I'm surprised that the Democrats I wouldn't be surprised if next they say Shamsuddin Jabbar is really a victim and we ought to be lauding him. We shouldn't be blaming him for killing 15 people. We should be blaming, I don't know who to blame. I guess blame American society or something. Blame somebody. Blame you. Blame me. But, you know, he maybe he's a hero. I mean, that it wouldn't surprise me. That's how far they've gone as far as I'm concerned. This is the kind of person that they seem to think is worthy of support, worthy of exaltation. That, and they haven't done that yet, I'm just saying, is that what's next? Because what they're doing so far is downright demonic. And we could go right down the list of stuff that they've done. I mean, like I said, the celebration of killing unborn babies. Not just the grudging acceptance of it as a reality, which is still sin, but not just that. No. Celebrating it as a great thing to do. I say killing your own progeny. Now, that's not only against the law of God, that's just against nature. It takes a twisted heart to get the head to accept that killing one's own progeny, the fruit of one's own body is a wonderful thing to do. Again, that's demonic. Saying to a 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old, 7, 8, 9, 10, for to any person, any age, you know, you were born in the wrong body, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to see to it you get injected with hormones. We're going to block puberty for you. We're going to cut off your breasts. We're going to cut off your genitalia. We're going to transform you. You're going to be so happy when we get done. And the data shows that people are more likely to commit suicide after going through all that than they are before. And that's the argument they use. Oh, if you don't allow this happen, they're going to commit suicide. When in fact, they're more likely to commit suicide after these Frankenstein operations to try to change them into something they can never be. Yeah, this stuff is, we are dealing with demons running rampant, and they have found a haven. Can I just share with you a thought, and I've got to get ready to go now, but can I just share with you a thought about demonology? Demons are like people in this sense. Whatever particular proclivity they have, whatever really turns them on, that's where they want to gather with others of like spirit. And the Democrat Party has become a gathering place for them, because they can find pretty much everything that turns them on there. You can find encouragement to violence. You can find sexual depravity. You can find admiration of the monstrous and the depraved and the degenerate. You can find hatred. I mean, pretty much any demonic thing you want to think of, you can find. You can find shedding of innocent blood, killing of unborn babies. That's what it is, the shedding of innocent blood. You can find that. You can find division. Oh, you name it. You name it. It's the clubhouse for pretty much any degenerate, depraved thing you're looking for. That's where you find it. That's why all the people, you can find anti-Semitism. Yeah, you can find that too. And I don't care how much they claim that the whole country is racist and everybody else is racist, you can find racism there at several orders of magnitude beyond anything you'll find anywhere else, with an even greater and more insidious impact, because they cloak it in compassion. Somebody like me, because I happen to have dark skin and I espouse conservative biblical worldview approaches to things, I am persona non grata. You know, I was actually called at one point, and now I've really got to go. I was actually called at one point, one newspaper said, called me the George Wallace. This is when I was in Boston, the George Wallace of the North. Yeah, don't ask me. Don't ask me to explain that. What they were trying to do was vilify me so that other black folks would hate me and see me as someone who hated them, as someone who was espousing what they considered to be a hateful, racist, segregationist viewpoint. Nothing could have been further from the truth. I just wasn't buying into the liberal nonsense. And so they needed to marginalize me. And they did that by ascribing to me the most heinous racist attitudes one would imagine, like as if I were a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, that to me, that's about as racist as it gets. So we're dealing with demonic forces, and the consolation as I end is Jesus has already defeated them. Get behind me, Satan. You are an affront to God. And you have no authority here. He's under our feet. In the name of Jesus. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Not like theirs. Not lies. Not deceptions. Not brainwashing. Not violence. Not racial division. And indoctrination of lies into the minds of children and mutilating kids and killing unborn babies. No, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Theirs are. But ours are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought under obedience to Jesus Christ. That's going to do it. You know what to do. By the way, I hope you'll take advantage of the complimentary tickets made available to you by AFR. And again, call 757-375-6444 to claim your complimentary tickets, or email us at awardsdinner@standing.net. In the meantime, folks, I'd love to see you on May the 16th at Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia. In the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.